when did he come up with the equation energy equals mass times the speed of light squared?
Yeah, it came up in 1905. He was hot that year because his mother had always thought he was a good student, and his sister had always liked him, and he had been promising. But when he was 21, he didn't come up with anything. 22, 23, 24, 25. And so in 1904, he was 25, still hadn't come up with anything. And he thought, ugh, maybe I'm, you know, all talk and no action. But in 1905, when he was 26, it all started coming together in his mind. And he started clicking off these papers, boom, 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 one after another. And the final one he did in the autumn, he went to sleep one night. He said he had this most horrible headache. He felt his head was splitting. When he woke up in the morning, he said it was like a storm, an electric storm had cleared. And it was, you know, that beautiful smell you get right after a storm?
Clean.
You know, when it's all over.
It's a clean smell.
Yes, super clean. And he woke up and he said, it was totally clear in his head. So he wrote out his special theory of relativity, and a little bit later he wrote a little follow-up paper, and he realized that E equals MC squared. That's what he wrote. He used different symbols, but that's what it came out to be.
Now, what does it mean?
Suppose somebody came to Earth and had never seen fire, right? And suppose you took a log or a twig, a thick branch of a tree that was really wet, and you lit it, and they had never seen fire, and they would see this incredible amount of smoke would come out of it. And they'd say, whoa, where did that come from? Well, it turns out Einstein was a little bit like that. He said that what the equation says is that mass can turn into energy. So right now I'm holding a pen in my hand. And what Einstein said is the mass of that pen, maybe it weighs, you know, a few ounces, mm-hmm. or whatever, that it holds within it an incredible amount of energy. And that you could actually get that energy to explode outwards. And it would be as if, again, we're not used to that, but just think of all the smoke that comes out of a wet twig when you burn it. You know, just it really billows out. And if you had never seen that, you'd be amazed it's all hidden inside there. So he said, mass, it's kind of like a miser. The energy is inside there, but you never see it. You know, a miser is a rich man, never lets the money out. But there's ways to release it, and he hoped it would never be released on planet Earth.
It scared him, didn't it?
Yeah, because it turns out if the equation just said M equals E, mass equals energy, that'd be kind of easy. You know, a pen that weighs a few ounces, maybe it'd be,
well,
I don't know.
It's a wash,
energy.
One for one, right?
Yeah, it'd be like, I don't know, it's like burning a piece of paper. You know, it flares up a bit, but it's not so bad. Or
right.
Burning a log, you know, one to one. But it turns out C squared is a great big number.
It's huge.
C is a big number, and C squared is an even bigger number. So what the equation's really saying is you take a little bit of mass, and you multiply it. You multiply it by, like, the mother of all numbers, this giant number. It's in the trillions in our units. And so a little bit of mass goes in, and what comes out is a fabulous amount of energy. Over Hiroshima in Japan in 1945, the bomb that the U.S. Air Corps dropped, the amount of uranium that was the mass that was destroyed was only just, an ounce or two at most. But that turned into enough energy to destroy a whole city. In fact, it hit the moon and bounced back, the blast. Not the blast itself, but the light from it was hit the moon and bounced back in just a few seconds. It was an incredible thing, and that's just what's hidden inside a little bit of mass.
Was he responsible then for the atomic bomb because
it's
of that
funny.
Formula?
Right after the bomb was exploded, he didn't actually work on the engineering project, but his secretary, Helen Dukas, was her name in Princeton, came up to him and said, look, you know, Professor Einstein, I saw this in the papers. And he said, ah. If I'd known that would have happened, I wouldn't have lifted a finger.
You mean they kept him in the dark on this?
Oh, the FBI hated him. They said he was a security risk because he was a rare breed of in America. Now he was a liberal Democrat, and the FBI did not like him. So they harassed him. They wouldn't let him work on the Manhattan Project.
So he was totally in the dark about this until it exploded. He must have known something.
He had hints. And you know one of the greatest hints he had? That there were all these specialists, because he showed how theoretically it could happen, but then you need the practical engineering. You have to refine the uranium
right.
or refine the plutonium and put it together and get the charges, you know, all that sort of stuff. So suddenly all these scientists he had known were disappearing. Whoop! A specialist in explosives? Disappeared. A specialist in uranium? Disappeared. A specialist in atomic physics? Disappeared. So, you know, it's like you can put two and two together. So he knew something was going on.
But it just didn't involve him. I wonder if he was curious.
You know, sometimes you know, but you don't want to know. It's almost like if there's a teenager with a drug problem. You know, you don't want to know too much.
When did he start getting involved in, like, time and, you know, whether going back into time or forward was possible?
That also began in that incredible year of 1905. He was just mulling when he was 26, and he was really hot for about 20 years. And between His hottest time was between about 26 and 36, between about 1905 and 1915. And he created these fabulous theories. I'm just overwhelmed. I know I've read a bit in the history of science, and most people, you know, it's a difference. Sometimes you see an athlete, and you accept that athlete is better than you. You know, there's no question. He can run faster than you, but you can kind of imagine being trained, and in theory, maybe you could do that, or maybe you could do that when you're younger or whatever. But sometimes you see an athlete and you say, no way, it's just magic. There's no way whatsoever I could possibly do that. And Einstein was like that. I've read about a lot of scientists, and I'm quite willing to, you know, I respect that they're much smarter than me. But I could always kind of imagine what they did and follow it and stuff. But Einstein was flying at a plane above anybody else.
Well, he sure was. And you know what? When he died, this country, I think, lost one remarkable mind, don't you?
It was just special. The thing about time, according from his theories, you can't go back in time, but you can go forward in time at different rates. So you can actually make people go forward at different rates. So there is something called the Einstein rocket, where if you went into it, if you went into it and traveled very, very quickly in it, you might feel that only 10 minutes passed, but when you came back to Earth, the Earth would be 40 years. 40 years would have passed. Everybody you knew would be 40 years older.
What a horrible thing to come back to.
Isn't that, it's kind of scary.
It is.